Good day to you all. This is KVRF 89.5 on your FM dial, the home of Big Cabbage Radio. And today, on Radio Free Palmer, we have something new for you, the listener. A program called Listen Up. It is geared for a group of people that give a lot to our community in more ways than one. The Veterans of the Valley. I hope you like it, and please feel free to let us know. So here it is. I have with me in the studio today, Ron Travis, a U.S. Navy veteran of the Vietnam era and founder of Last Honor Flight, and Frederick Sampson, a Marine from World War II, and I think Air Force as well, am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, say hello to everybody. And
you know, I'm Ron Travis with the Last Frontier Honor Flight, and we're glad to be here.
Okay.
Fred Sampson, I'm with Ron on the I'm with Ron on the flight, and we're very, very happy this is up in the valley here.
Okay, Ron, tell us about Last Frontier Flight and what motivated you to get into this.
Well, I was down visiting my mother in an assisted living home in Washington State, and one of the roommates that she had was a World War II veteran, and we've known him all of our life. And we were talking to her, and he was come up and introduced himself again and started talking about the honor flight. That's all he could talk about, and I had never heard of it. So he was explaining to me that what it was about, taking guys back to D.C. to visit the memorials that they hadn't ever seen, and they weren't built till 2004. So anyway, with that, my wife and I, Linda, thought, well, when we get home to Alaska, let's look into it and maybe find out where the hub is, and we'll get something going or help out. So when we got here, we found out there wasn't a hub. So we thought, well, somebody should probably start one.
And so you started one.
Yeah, so we kind of said, well, I guess we're looking at them. So we started it.
Okay. And Frederick, you're going on this flight here. This is the first one, right?
Yes.
How do you feel about it?
I feel great. The thing is, you know, after World War II, you came home. That was it. Nothing. Uh-huh. If it wasn't for your family, your friends, nobody knew you were gone. So this one here is the one way of showing that we were appreciated.
I agree on that one, totally. Now, how much does this cost total? I know that the veteran, in this case Frederick here, flies for free and stays for free in Washington, D.C. How much does it cost for one of these flights?
Well, totally, the flight will consist of on this particular flight, it would be 53 people going. There's 25 veterans, World War II vets, and each will have a guardian that goes with them. Now, the guardians, we ask they pay their own way, their own airfare. So with that, then the total flight with all the expenses, we pay for the room, board, transportation, everything from the time we leave until we get back. It's 4 nights and 5 days. And okay. The cost is going to run about probably $65,000, $70,000 to complete this.
That's a chunk of change. Mr. Sampson, where did you serve during World War II?
Where did I serve?
Yes.
I was in the South Pacific.
5th Marines?
Yeah, with the Marines. I island hopped.
I ran into a couple of you guys a few years ago, and one of the last islands that this gentleman was on was Iwo Jima. Yeah. Were you there, too?
No. I was stuck in a little place called Funafuti. Nobody ever heard of it except the ones that got stuck on it. It was in the Lee's Island group, and it was set up as a first line of defense at the start, and we were set up in an anti-aircraft artillery.
Wow.
And then we stayed there too long, went to a rest camp. Then from the rest camp, we went into Okinawa. And then at the time, they had a point system. By the time we got done, we had enough points to come home, and I had enough to get out. So.
I've heard of that point system.
Yeah.
When I was in Iraq, we didn't have that. We just deployed for a year, and then after the year, we packed up and came home. I was in the Iraq War in 2004, 2005. That was not a fun place at all, that's for sure. It was hotter than
none of those places are fun places.
No. Oh, you think that after this flight, you think we'll have more coming?
Oh, yeah. When we first started this, there was a lot of people said, oh, you're not going to find enough World War II veterans to do one flight. And so as we started getting the word out, getting some exposure, we started getting people coming out of the woodwork. We started getting applications. So now we've got 25 guys for this flight, and we have enough for another full flight. And we're in April, we're going to try to do another one in April. And, of course, that's depending on our fundraising and our success at that.
But. Okay. In light of the government shutdown, do you foresee any problems on this particular flight going out?
Well, it's probably going to have some restrictions on us, you know, because some of them that we're not going to be able to visit, but we do have permission to visit the World War II Memorial, and they're working on passes for us right now. And we've also got, they've told us when we get there, if the barricades are in place, we can just move them over and go in.
Oh,
so
good.
That was a big deal for us.
Because I remember when the first news stories started running about that, and I think it was on our flight from Arkansas, I think it was.
Or Mississippi, I think it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they had the barricades up, and it was at least to me, a slap in the face. I think it was wrong that they had those things up, so. I'm glad that you got permission to move those things aside, and you and Frederick here, you're going to, Ron?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Call me sir. I'm an old NCO. I work for a living.
Yeah, I'll be kind of the front guy on that. I'll be make sure that we get where we're supposed to go and when we're supposed to be there, and if there's any changes, I'll be running ahead making the whatever is necessary to do to make it work.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Excuse me, I'm rustling papers here. I'm trying to get my... Well, I'm new at this, so give me a break. You know, I'm trying my best. Oh, hey, Frederick, you said you were in the anti-aircraft artillery.
Yes.
What rank did you come achieve? Rank were you?
I was a PFC.
PFC?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. I like PFCs. I was PFC twice.
Yeah. When I got in the Air Force, then I started getting rank.
Oh. And in the Air Force... you served in Korea as well?
Korea and Nam.
Wow. A triple. You're the second guy I've met that's done a triple. That's amazing. What did you do in the Air Force?
I was aircraft mechanic, and then I went into maintenance control.
That's right up my alley. Well, I served mostly as a mechanic on Hueys, Cobras, Chinooks, and then in Iraq, the Humvees, which replaced the Jeep. And deuce and halves and 5 tons and all that stuff. So I was cranking wrenches there, too.
I was on jet fighters all the time.
Wow. What type of aircraft was it? Single fighter. It looked like the MiG.
F-86.
F-86 Sabre, that was it. And went blank there for a second.
Pardon?
I went blank there for a second. I've seen one of those things fly, but they were screamers.
When I was on the old F-80, which they were using for a fighter bomber.
Okay.
And they just couldn't keep up with 86s. Not,
not much could back in those days.
No.
That was fine aircraft, aircraft.
Yeah.
Vietnam, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was took an F-104 squadron there, which was at the time was the fastest aircraft the Air Force had.
Yeah? Yeah, the old F-4 Phantoms.
A little stubby wing.
And an engine loud as, oh, I can't say the word, but that was even bigger screamer.
Yeah.
Now, I read the brochures and all that stuff. This honor flight's also going to include, eventually, Vietnam veterans and all that. Do you ever think you'll ever get to... my time period?
Well, we're working from the oldest veterans back. So World War II is our priority, and they'll always be our priority.
Yes.
And then we're going to, we're building a database with Korean War veterans now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to start, as we, the flights start dwindling down with World War II, we're going to supplement with Korean. And then when the Korean starts dwindling down, we're going to supplement with Vietnam. And that's as far back as we can think now, or far ahead as we can think.
Okay, well, that's good enough right now. I've got to admit, these clubs, these combat veteran clubs, mm-hmm. the one thing that they all have in common, their membership dwindles. Mm-hmm. And dwindles and dwindles and dwindles. No, we don't want that, obviously, but that's part of life and all that. When you got back from the war, Frederick, did you have any problems readjusting, you know, to civilian life, to life outside of a combat zone?
Not really. Just fell back in the old routine again. You know, those days is a lot different than it is now.
Yes.
You know, and we're the old school, and you didn't get excited about it too much.
I remember that one. They were calling me old school because I was one of the oldest, not one of the oldest guys, but one of the older ones in my unit. The average age was like between 24 and 35, and I was 43. And I had a master sergeant that was 53. We called him Dad. Yeah. No, but boy, he could anything he touched, it would be broken. He touched just touching it would work. So he was good at that. Very, very good. But, that reminds me, the Alaska Territorial Guard. I noticed it was being mentioned a lot in your brochures and whatnot. And I think I interviewed your vice president. The article I wrote in the Frontiersman.
Right, right.
And she said you guys were having problems trying to locate them.
Yeah, it's been one of our challenges. You know, they were, I think as late as 2000, there was the first time they ever recognized the Territorial Guard as veterans. They actually presented some DD-214s and discharge papers for these guys. You know, after the war, for a lot of the natives here in Alaska, they just told them to keep their guns, and they were done. That was all they got.
Wow!
And so they
got to keep them.
Yeah. So they finally, I think Senator Stevens was kind of the push behind it, and he started generating some interest. And with that, they started locating these guys and realizing that they were just as important and contributed as much as anyone. So mm-hmm. we want to give them a chance to ask them to come along with us and be recognized and appreciate the memorials and stuff as well.
Yeah, I agree on that one. I mean, they did quite a lot for Alaska up here, especially during the Aleutian campaign.
Right, and that's one of our problems is they're spread out all over the state, and the communication is the further out you go, it gets less and less. So we're slowly getting inroads into it and meeting the right people that can bring us and introduce us to these guys and introduce them what we're doing to them, because mm-hmm. a lot of veterans programs, they have difficulty. They know a lot of names, but they have confidentiality issues, and they can't just give out names and addresses. So it's incumbent upon them to try to get to the people and then have them contact us.
The catch-22 there.
Right, yeah, exactly. So it's been a real challenge, and we're getting closer. We're getting a few, and I think the next flight we'll have some Territorial Guard on.
Oh, I was just going to ask that. Are any going on this flight right here?
Not this time. We've got some guys coming from Metlakatla.
Oh.
We're going to have two vets from down there and a guardian, and then we're taking one of our people down to escort them to Portland because it's closer for them to go to Portland than it is to come to Anchorage and then back to Portland. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's almost a budget by itself. I mean, the logistics for us is just the people down south don't understand exactly how big this state is. You know,
it's such a small population, even though we have per capita the largest population of veterans mm-hmm. In the state, with fully 10% of the population, which 90% of the states on the lower 48 don't have. It's like barely one.
Yeah, well, that's what they're realizing that when we went to a summit in February for the honor flight, just before we got started, really, we wanted to kind of see what was going on. And there's like 121 hubs down south that's doing the same thing we're doing. And there was people from all of the United States, and they were standing up talking about their challenges. Mm-hmm. And Arizona stood up and says, well, boy, it takes us 3 days. And I had to stand up and say, when we get to Seattle, we're not even halfway. Presents a whole different story for us.
Does every state have an honor flight system or a hub going?
I think there's 46 states that have honor flight hubs, and there's actually another one in Fairbanks now. Fairbanks come on with one. They call it Honor Flight Golden Heart.
Okay.
And they're taking four veterans this time, with four guardians, and then they're gonna travel with us, and then we'll all be together through the tour and everything. So we'll have veterans from Fairbanks as well that'll be going along.
Interesting. How can one contribute money towards this?
Well, we have a website that you can visit. The website is TLFHonorFlight.org. And on the website, you can review it, and there's a donate button. You can donate. You can hit the button, and it'll carry you through the process of you can donate to goes through Wells Fargo.
Okay. And what about for someone who wants to volunteer?
Again, on the website, we have a contact information on there. They mm-hmm. can just download applications there also for veterans, for guardians, and for just volunteers if they want to help out. And there's always room, there's always room for everyone. There's room for veterans and guardians and people to help.
And how has the fundraising been going? Has there been a lot of contributions from people?
The more we get exposure like this opportunity to come and speak, and people hear about it, people are coming forth and we're getting contributions. We have had some MEA.
Mm-hmm.
We contacted them. They wrote us a check for $10,000.
Wow.
That's what we said. Wow. It was
wow.
And the American Legion's Department of American Legion has donated $5,000. And so there's most of ours so far has been coming in small, much smaller increments. I mean, we have little fundraisers. We have gas card raffles. We have airline ticket raffles. We've had a luau, a golf tournament. And so there comes at people just are they're just generous. They see the cause, and we'll always have a little bucket there, and they throw in fives, tens, dollars, and it
adds up.
It adds up, and we've had this trip is funded. Our first trip we have enough to go. So, but we're hoping.
Amazing.
That, yeah, we'll start over again here after the 26th. When we get back, it's right back into the same mode for the next flight, but.
Okay, so that's when you're leaving, this October 26th?
We're leaving the 22nd.
Oh, 22nd?
At 11:45, and then we'll return on the 26th at 12:05, and we're hoping to have, inviting everyone to come out for a homecoming for the guys, to give them an opportunity for them to come and thank them and shake their hands and just visit them as when we come back from their flight.
Have both of you ever been to Washington, D.C. before?
Yeah, I have.
You have? I've never.
Not to the memorial. I was a Smithsonian.
Oh, I would love to go there. Yeah. Yeah, I would go there. You wouldn't get me for like 3 weeks. I'd be happy and lost at the same time.
It's a great place.
It's amazing.
And I went back. Well, my wife and I went back on our flight as guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, so we'd have a notion of what we're doing. And we took some veterans from here. We took six guys, and then we coupled with Southern Oregon, and then we joined them in Portland, and then we rounded out their flight at 25. So we made the run as guardians and found out what a guardian does, and it's quite a task, but it's well worthwhile.
I can believe it. So sometimes if you have a little bit of a shortage, you get together with another hub and.
Yeah, we have this time.
We
went with Oregon because they kind of mentored us to start with, mm-hmm. to kind of help us along, show us the way. And so then, and this time, of course, now we're doing our own flight, and then Fairbanks is joining us again. And so we'll be doing our own flights now. We won't be hooking up with anybody probably other than Fairbanks. We try to work as close as we can with Fairbanks all the time.
That is amazing. I love this idea of the honor flights. I first heard about it about 2 years ago. A friend of mine who is from the 7th Infantry Division, retired, he took his dad, who was in the Korean War with the 3rd ID, U.S. Army, and took his dad and I think his grandfather, who was World War II vet.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. I haven't heard from him in a while, but that's when I first started hearing about the honor flights, And I was just amazed by it. He came back with a whole bunch of pictures, and they showed the memorial and all that stuff. That thing's a big memorial.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be a baseball diamond, I think it was, a municipal, for like Little League, series of baseball diamonds.
Mm. Yeah, I wasn't sure what it was. I know that it's very, Well, it was, you know, they didn't finish it till 2004, so.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, when you see the memorial, there's a lot of symbolism there that, mm-hmm. that you have to look a little bit up and, you know, and learn a little bit more about it, because it's a lot more than just cement and marble, you know. There's,
oh, yeah.
There's so much more going on there, and a lot of the, it's well done, and it's, you know, it's classy. It's
I've seen pictures of it. It's beautiful. You're going to go to the other ones, like, Frederick's case, the Korean War Memorial and the Vietnam Wall?
I'm going to try.
Yep.
I'm going to try to get to them all.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
That's going to be cool. Man, I wish I could go.
There's room.
No, I'm sort of on the poor side right now. So. Believe me, if I had the money, I would go in a heartbeat. I would love to go with y'all. It's just a lot better than just a lip service, you know, thank you for your service thing. This is a real thank you. And what I like, it's veterans helping veterans. Yes. You know, we take care of our own, and this is one way, great way to take care of our own.
Yeah, you just don't understand, realize how rewarding it is. I mean, not as a guardian. I mean, to escort a gentleman like Mr. Sampson, it's an honor, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and the best thing we can do is just have that, just listen. It's a history lesson, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know? And so that's one of the rewards as a guardian that you have, you know.
Yeah, living history. Yeah. I've met over the years people from met some of the Tuskegee Airmen. I've met people who one guy that fought in Battle of the Bulge, and the guy that fought he was in the D-Day Normandy invasion. And then one sergeant major who actually went in the Air Force after he did his time in the Marines, mm-hmm. and he was at Iwo Jima, and later he was doing spook flights out of Hanoi. Mm-hmm. And all that back just before the Vietnam conflict mm-hmm. kicked off.
Yeah.
It was amazing, amazing stuff that they were telling me. You know, my stories aren't nearly as good. But then, even though we've all served, mm-hmm. but we wore different uniforms and we carried different weapons, and our enemies had different tactics and they were completely different, we still served our country. That's really important to me, is the service, to serve. I told one person who asked me, why are you doing that? I said, well, I live to serve, you know, I serve to live. And that's the way it's always been for me. And I've done 21 years. I'm retired now. So. Yeah, I was stupid enough to raise my hand more than one time. you know, re-enlisting and all that stuff. But, you know, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Were you drafted or did you enlist?
I enlisted.
You enlisted?
Yeah, both times.
Both times. Wow. Mm. And, Ron, were you drafted or?
No, I signed up.
You signed up,
yeah, too? Yeah, I'm a Navy family. My dad was a Navy. He's a World War II vet.
Ah.
My brother was Navy. I'm Navy. My nephew's Navy. So it was, we didn't really have a choice, you know, where we're going. So.
Oh, man. My dad was U.S. Air Force. His uncle and his brother was Air Force and then OSS. And then my uncle on my mother's side, her brother, was U.S. Army, just prior to Vietnam. And then I came along and enlisted in 1980. And then I went into the active Army reserves, and then National Guard. My stint was with the National Guard over in Iraq. My daughter joined the reserves out of the blue. I had no idea she was going to do that. You know, so we're sort of a military family, too. You know, and then I just found out my aunt, who was married to my uncle, my dad's brother, she was Marine in World War II, air traffic control. And you wouldn't think of her as being a Marine because she was 4 foot nothing. But boy, when she got that voice, you could tell.
Yeah.
She was an NCO and she had that command voice. And boy, she calmed us kids down when we got trouble. Well, I think we've had a good session here. Well, I'm going to leave you all with this. Hopefully, if you all like it, please let us know. And this good show will continue. My name is Daniel D. Grota. I'm a U.S. Army sergeant, retired, and Iraq War veteran and independent columnist. Until the next time.